Hi, and welcome to Radio Gorgeous. It's Gorgeous Escapes with the fabulous Sarah Tucker, who is our travel correspondent. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. Now, today we're going to be talking about travel trends, what's going on around the globe in 2019 to come. And we're also going to be looking at the latest travel books, which you've had. You've been to a couple of travel markets, as they're called, as a kind of travel journalist. And you kind of find out what's going on then, do you?
Well, every November, every year, there's World Travel Fair, which is in London. There's quite a few fairs around the world, but ours happens in London in November. And you literally have the whole world
Where is it? Olympia?
It used to be at Olympia. It's right over the other side of London.
In the east.
It's huge. Anyway, and so... It's a huge event, and there's also something called the Luxury Travel Market, which does happen at Olympia, and much, much smaller. And I went to both this year, and the trends is interesting. Travel is like fashion. It's all very well saying that sort of this country is in fashion and this country isn't, but if you don't like it, you don't like it. As far as the top 10 of countries that are bucket list countries to go to, New Zealand comes top, then the Galapagos, then you've got Canada, Iceland, Hawaii. Hawaii is very beautiful, lots of different islands. It's sort of like...
Yes, I've heard that there's a different... You don't just have to go to the coast where all the kind of commercial hotels are. There's another wilder coast.
There's a lot of very interesting wildlife in a lot of the islands. And actually, wildlife is a common thread throughout the top 10. Australia is also in the top 10, South Africa, Vietnam, Japan. Although those who do want to go to Japan next year or even in 2020 are going to have a little bit of a problem. It's going to be very expensive simply because next year we've got the Rugby World Cup there and in 2020 we have the Olympics. Wow. So if you're going to book very, very early, or better still, because it's going to get a lot of publicity anyway. So those countries, they always seem to, if you like, get into the top 10.
They all seem quite kind of adventurous places. They sound like the sort of place, you're not going on holiday, you might be doing more travelling, would you say?
I think they're very much sort of like once-in-a-lifetime experiences. It's interesting that Antarctica isn't in the top 10, but Antarctica is certainly one of those places which is becoming much more accessible. I went there about 4 years ago now. I'm disappointed. It's a bit like the Galapagos.
Isn't it being accessible dangerous for wildlife?
Exactly. This is what I think. I think they should limit the number of people going to the Galapagos, and I think they should definitely limit the number of people going to Antarctica. There's only so many boats that can go there anyway. And actually, when I went there over one Christmas with my son Tom, and which was wonderful. We were there on Christmas Day, and we saw the three penguins following us around. It was quite, you know, nativity, eat your heart out. It's a very magical experience. It's a very unique experience. Astronauts who've obviously been up into space, they say Antarctica is the closest thing you will get to being in space, being on the moon. It's a very rarefied place. But when we were there, we were on a Russian scientific ship, which was kitted out for travellers. And there was another Chinese ship that was also taking people around to see the different parts of Antarctica. And it got caught in the ice, and the ship got trapped, and they had to be airlifted out. So although people think, oh, that's a wonderful experience.
Summer there.
We were there over on Christmas.
Which
exactly. But we flew initially over to Buenos Aires, which is a phenomenal city, and then to Patagonia, which it's worth spending about a week there before you go off, but we were only there a couple of days. And we actually stayed in the hotel in Ushuaia where the Top Gear team were hold up when there was all that controversy about them putting a number plate on the car, which they shouldn't have done. But anyway, that was interesting. So again, the places that have been chosen in the top 10 are those ones that are either got once in a lifetime experiences attached to them, or have got that wilderness experience.
Let's talk about the first three ones. So, but number one was New Zealand. Yeah.
Number one was New Zealand, and as I said, number three was Canada. Now, both of those are popular simply because they've been in the press a lot recently. We've had the royals go there, and consequently, anywhere the royals go, there is an awful lot of free travel and tourism publicity for them, so people like to go there. Also, we do tend to like traveling, but we do like going to places where they speak the English language and where we can
How
easily.
Disappointing.
I know, but it is true. It is true, and I think from that perspective, you know, the fact that, you know, we've got Japan in there, and which is completely the reverse. Yeah. Where when you go in there, and again, it's like being on a different planet. You're talking about Antarctica and being on the moon. It's like, you know, no one, obviously in hotels they will speak English, but all the signs are in Japanese, and It's in a completely different world. But those destinations fall nicely into what trends, how people are traveling now. As I said, more people are traveling, or they want to travel by themselves. So that means genuine solo travelers, not going as within a group, within singles, but going simply by themselves. And that means...
Is that because the internet, you can book everything in advance?
Yes.
You know, that's why people can do this. Because before it would have been, I remember turning up on Greek islands and things, and sometimes, quite often, there was nowhere to sleep, had to sleep on the pavement. Or nowadays, you can plan ahead because of the internet. So is it... You can be a more confident traveller, can't you?
I think not only that, I think it's definitely more confident traveller. I think women are becoming much more confident about travelling by themselves, literally by themselves.
And
not just
particularly because I've heard some countries are quite difficult. So you're saying Australia and Canada are quite safe for women?
Well, this is why I think those countries, the ones that I've... And as I said, Iceland is also become very, very popular, but that's because the airlines, WOW and Icelandair, have made it much more accessible. And it's easy to get to. And it's an interesting place, and it's an interesting city destination. You've got women are wanting to be able to travel by themselves. You've also got... what I call the sort of like women in there, not just their 50s, but 40s and 30s, they are taking gap years or gap times away from their family. So even if they're in a relationship or they're in a family, they want to have times by themselves. And that's increasing as well. Also, so is the trend for family holidays for mum to go away with one child and dad to go away
no.
with one child. Yeah, that trend, that trend is increasing as well because they have one-on-one time.
Fall out.
They won't. But it sort of increased. And really, they're behaving, I suppose, in a way like single parents. But they come back and they swap children. They go off again. So I think they feel that's sort of it's, you know, it's not a case for it's for a week. With something like that, it's for a long weekend or sort of like, you know, it can be a day or 2 days.
That's a good idea,
because
as we know, you always get on better with your child one to one than you do if there's 2 to 1 or, you know, 2 children to 1 or whatever.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that sort of like the whole family holiday disappears. That's just added on as an add-on.
Actually, I went last year, to Norway with my daughter.
Yeah. You know, it is becoming, and you know, a lot of my friends are going away with their daughters or their sons, and I did it. You know, I'm a single mother, and I took Tom. There was just me and him just all over the place. This year or next year, 2019, will also be the trend of JOMO. And JOMO is joy of missing out. It used to be FOMO, fear of missing out. So in other words, you always had to be connected to the internet. You always have to, you know, if you teenagers will always ask before anything else, is there Wi-Fi? Yeah, are we connected to the internet? Wherever you want to go, even if it's in the deepest jungle or the Amazon or whatever. People are now wanting to have an internet detox.
Fantastic.
They don't want it. And so what tour operators and hotels and resorts are doing are actually advertising the option, the fact that there is no internet connection. The problem is that they also want to be connected or to have the opportunity to be connected. So it's a bit, there's a lot of contradictions in the trends these days. As that, you know, there's another one where they said, you know, I was told with the, there's a company, Euromonitor, who investigates all these trends every year. Some of them are really quite peculiar. And some of them actually rather contradict themselves. And this one does. Holidaymakers next year want to have an immersive experience. I use, you know, the immersive is used in the travel industry a lot like authentic is. So you really want to get in to know a place, to know the people, to understand the culture, to eat the food, to speak the language.
Yeah, go and stay with the family, mate.
Go and stay with the family. Mm. But, and contrary to that, you also want to be on the move. So you want to move a lot. So either you have a long time, so you take a gap year or sort of like 3 months or 4 months or whatever, to still have an immersive experience and be on the move. Or people still like to skim the surface. So they like to go from A to B and B to C and C to D quite quickly. So it's a little bit of a contradiction to say that you want an immersive experience and you want to always be on the move.
So are people taking longer holidays than they used to, would you say?
They're travel is becoming much more of a necessity. I think, as you know, it, even with the increase of mental health issues, people are wanting to, they're increasingly interested in not just spa holidays or retreat holidays, but mindfulness holidays. Like this year, I went to a yoga retreat in France, in Nyon, but I went with an instructor who I know very well, Tim Sibley, who's a local instructor, an excellent one. But I only went because I followed the instructor. Lovely place, fabulous vegan food, but I followed the instructor and everything worked very, very well. There was also a yoga festival for a long weekend in a place called La Clusaz in France, which was wonderful. But there's also a juice fast that I went on, which in Portugal, which was Mos Vinhos, which is
so people go for weekends away and do like detoxing and yoga. But then if they go on holiday, they want more of a travelling experience and they might go for three or four weeks, would you say?
Quite, yes. Mm. And also, as I said, this whole wellness thing, they do expect their holidays to fix them. They're treating them more like as medicine. When I wrote my book, The A to Zen of Travel, I realised people were wanting more from their holidays, just sand and sea.
Well, people turn up now, because I've got a friend that does organise retreats, and they said usually people have come with a life change, like they're dissatisfied with their job, they've just left a partner, they've just got divorced, their children might have just grown up. It's usually a life change and they're looking a little bit for some healing or an answer within themselves. That's why they go on these.
Well, the irony is, I remember, because I've been doing this for over 22 years now, and I remember there was a trend one year when people were going on holiday and they were coming back and they were wanting to get divorced and change their jobs. And so as now, what's happening is at least sort of like they've done it after they've done it, yeah. You know, whereas 2, 3, 4 years ago, it was, you know, they came back and they wanted a divorce and they wanted to change their jobs. So it's almost like we've moved on every year on year. We've moved on from one situation to the next. The last trend I'll talk about is something possibly people might think, you know, high end, and certainly the cruise market has grown exponentially because they've become much more boutique. You know, they're going to places that they haven't been able to reach before. Some of the small boutique cruise companies like Monday Cruising, most people know Uber, Uber for cars, and also Uber if you want sort of like your food delivered. But it's taking to the air. And there's companies now where you could effectively share a plane and sort of like go from A to B and B to C. Excellent. I haven't investigated too much about it, but I'm going to find out more how really accessible it is, because it was something that was talked about not just at the luxury travel market, but the world travel market as well. And the world travel market deals with the masses. So it's obviously something that people feel there is definitely an option for people to do it. Whether there's a health and safety issue, people will feel safe in these smaller planes where they don't have the big brand and security behind it. might be a moot point, but it's something that definitely I was told that is on the rise. And so it's something to look out for.
What you could do is you could think, look, I really want to go to Ecuador and I want to travel to, then I want to go to Peru and I want to fly. And then you could find other people and you charter the airplane. So if you're going to kind of quite obscure places, or you're traveling out, Africa would be perfect for that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, this is,
So, you know, you just get a group of six or three or even two. The only trouble is I just always think of disaster movies anyway, but I don't want people, other people to think that.
I actually think they will think of it. And one of the questions when it was when I was told about this particular trend was not only a cost issue, but also more importantly the safety issue, because a lot of people, even if they've been in the smaller planes, like I've been in quite a few smaller planes actually in Africa, in a lot of the continents, in America and Canada, and I've been in good hands, because I've always felt that, well, if they kill a journalist, that's really, you know, sort of like what they enjoy. But it does happen, and I think people do, when they do hear about small planes going down, people don't really register, because they think, I'm never going to be able to afford a small plane, to have one that's like those, a private jet or anything like that. It's not relevant to me.
But
so
the time
although
is coming.
Although they feel sympathetic, it's not. It's like reading a character in a book that's actually nothing
it's
to
always,
do with
it. It's always top businessmen who've just learned to fly.
Yes, it is. Or in helicopters. Helicopters always go down. So I would be less. I would be less comfortable in a helicopter than I would in a plane. But you know, horses for courses.
Right. So what books did you find at your travel markets?
Well, there's a lot. You know, it's an interesting. I always think books are travel books, so a good thing to buy at Christmas time. And of course,
for ourselves and for people and stocking fillers
and stocking fillers as well. But so much is on the internet, and people think, you know, sort of like save trees, don't buy books. You can get so much on the internet and get an ebook. But there's something rather beautiful about sort of like travel books. And I've got a selection that Lonely Planet. Now, Lonely Planet is a good publishing house. It tends to be, let's say, more adventurous than some of the other travel companies, and experimental. I remember when I started to travel with Tom when he was just a baby, and I remember someone from Lonely Planet reviewing the book, saying that, oh, it's, I think it was Have Toddler Will Travel. She was saying that, oh, it's a pity that Sarah didn't go to Africa when Tom was a baby. And I'm thinking, well, no, I wouldn't take Tom to Africa when Tom was a baby, because I didn't want him to get malaria. You know, sort of like, so it did.
But they don't think like that.
No, they don't think that.
They're very open-minded.
They're very open-minded. But I think some of their books this year have been a really good idea.
They're now, very beautiful.
The first one, and I'm going to talk about, and actually I'll start with the best, which I think is the best. This is called The Van Life Companion.
Oh, this is a brilliant gift for someone who's, you know, everyone knows somebody who loves VWs.
Yes.
And wants and has a fantasy about giving up their normal life and just jumping in and having some freedom.
Yeah, and I think this is a really good.
It's got a VW camper on the front.
Yeah,
folks.
It's a starter. Mm. It's like it's almost like a starter book for just if you're considering it. If you're one of those people who says
I
will do it next year. I will do it every year. They say it's a practical and inspiring guide to great camper van adventures. I think some of it's just common sense. Some of it is actually it's quite technical about the vans itself, and also people get terribly romantic about these things. And I know people who have done it, and when it breaks down, you've got to have a sense of humour.
Yeah.
And also bigger is more luxurious and more comfortable. But driving it around sort of like small Italian roads, and you know, and sort of like on the Côte d'Azur, not a good idea. So you've got to be. But this book takes it into account. So I would definitely recommend The Van Life Companion by Lonely Planet.
Lovely present.
It's good.
It really is.
Second one. Now this has been done before. Wellness Escapes. Now I know quite.
This is still by Lonely Planet. Yeah.
This is still. All these ones are by Lonely Planet. Wellness Escapes. It focuses more on. It's not just the spas. It's the retreats, but also it's the eco retreats. It's got vegan retreats. It covers the globe. My only concern. There's even yoga retreats and Pilates retreats and more. What I call experimental retreats. The only thing I think about retreats is that I think they're all a little bit pricey still. And sometimes when I was looking through it, thinking that, again, you've either got to save up or it's meant for a target, you know, it's basically you've got to be wealthy. And I do think it's unfair. And I do believe that even there is definitely a potential to have...
Can't you just go to an ashram in India that's cheaper?
Well, exactly. And they do have ashrams here. But then you've got to consider flights as well. And so you've got to be very canny about it. You've got to book it, you know, so far in advance.
Try not go in the holidays and that sort of, and school holidays.
And that can be difficult because sometimes the people who need it the most have the least flexibility and time. The people who need it the least have the most flexibility and time. That's a generalisation. But in general, it's sort of... So that's the only say about the wellness escapes.
What's the kind of best... You know, what's the kind of cheapest holiday in the wellness book?
In the wellness book again, the ones that there's a few ones that I've been to that are in here, and there's that juice retreat that I mentioned in Portugal, and more details will be on the website about it. But because literally you're not eating very much, the flights, but it's Portugal, so you fly into Faro
and it's
EasyJet, no problem at all. You get picked up, or you could get a taxi, which isn't expensive. It's having that discipline and the support to stay on a fast for a week. And you can stay for 4 days, you can stay for 7 days, as I did, or you can stay for 2 weeks.
How much was it about?
Well, again, you're not talking thousands, you're talking hundreds.
Okay.
And I think so, consequently, it's a better... And okay, you think, well, I'm not going to be eating very much anyway, but, you know, you do have the juices.
What are they laying on for you? What else?
Well, they do have the juices. You do pay extra for things like acupuncture and reflexology and the massages, but it's excellent. You know, you have to give yourself colonics. You know, you give yourself this. But actually, you get used to it. And initially
I've
people
never
were thinking,
done it.
Well, and sort of like I have never done it myself. I must admit, I had it once, and actually, in the end, sort of like you sit on the toilet and you're reading a book, you know, you read a book. I was reading a book. Again, that's one of the places where there's internet detox.
What did you feel like afterwards, after a week?
You detox mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Physically, obviously, you detox. You do lose a lot of weight. I lost about a stone and a half. And you continue to lose it afterwards. You also become much more aware when you finish how much food is bombarded at you, or bombarded with food and images of food. You also emotionally detox as well. Like a lot of people, like some people need to lose weight, some people want to do this because they're
also let go of problems, you know, let go of your past, let go of, you know,
I think it does.
Letting go is so important.
But also what happens is that a lot of people use food as a comfort, they use it as a distraction, and consequently when you're not distracted and when you don't have that comfort, you've got to confront things. So it can be
an awful lot of tears, I suppose,
and that's why you need the support.
And are they there for a hug?
they are there for the hug. We did yoga every morning, meditation, mindfulness. We did yoga before we went to bed.
What happens if you're feeling really... Because if I don't eat, I get very bad tempered and shaky. What happens if someone goes through that?
You go through it. You literally do go through cold turkey. But it depends what your dependence is on food, on alcohol, on smoking. Because some people do a detox. And I think the bigger the detox, the more you're going to feel it. Like after the first day, I was irritable. Second day, I was tearful. Third day, I wanted to stay next to the toilet all day. Fourth day, I was fine. Okay. And fifth day, I was fine. Sixth day,
I was
fine.
You just got to go through the shit, basically.
You literally go through the shit. Yeah. And I think the more shit you've got, the more shit you've got to get. Literally that. And because I teach yoga, I sort of like do yoga, I write, I journal, I sort of, you know, I've got a lot of things sort of happening anyway. But I thought, oh no, I'll be fine. But there were still issues. You know, my son's gone a gap year, he's got to university, I'm an empty nester, I'm an only mum, single mum, so, you know, I'm not in a relationship. So lots of other things, but, you know, you're in the sun, and with the support, it's wonderful. But something like that is a good way to have that experience. Yes, when you do have the extra treatments, Yes, they do add to it. But I think from an accessible way to enter in something that actually really, really works, I'd highly recommend it. But I'll have more details on the website.
Now, last book, please.
Last book. Well, last one. Now, this is it. Lonely Planet's Best Ever Travel Tips. Now,
so this really is the size of a stocking. This could go into a stocking filler.
They have done this for a stocking filler. Mm. And it has got everything from classic honeymoon falls and how to avoid the malaria around the world, fancier home swap about home, so how to get the best deal on a hotel room, how to bag a bargain on an airline sale, the truth about flight upgrades.
I've already thought of three people I want to buy it.
Well, it's handy little tips. Mm. Some of it is common sense. I've read through it, and it's sort of like a lot of them start off with plan before you go. Yes, okay, right. Mm. So you didn't actually need to have to put out, you know, how to turn any business trip into a mini break. How to contact a travel agent. How a concierge can make your trip unstoppable. Mm. How to get the perfect Instagram shot. Capture the trip. You know, it's staying mindful on the road. They've even got a piece about mindfulness in here. It's a nice little book. It will fit into your handbag. Mm. So there's, and apart from my book, The A to Zen of Travel, they're the four
which
books
you obviously recommend.
Which I recommend because I wrote it anyway.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous, and also, you know, admitting all your faults and the shit you have to go
of
through.
Which I have many. Yes.
Thanks, Sarah, for coming on.
Thank you.
For more amazing women, always go to radiogorgeous.com.